And so if you need your hearts cut into today, welcome to the Church of God. Key verse is found. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to get into this right away. I'm glad you all said hello to each other because you got used to each other because you're going to be here a while. Amen? No amens. That's all right. I can okay with that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to talk about the kingdom today. If that's all right with you. I want to talk about God's kingdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 22, I'm going to go right into it. So keep up with me, and if you can't, just write the scriptures down. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22, the first part, it says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not follow nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. We have to follow God's word. And if God's word is true, and I believe it's true, then things are going to come to pass just the way He says it's going to be. There are so many things, so many prophecies that concern the coming Messiah in the Old Testament scriptures that when Jesus was born, there was silence from God for several hundred years that the people didn't realize that Jesus, born from the tribe of Judah, they didn't realize who He was. And they did not seem to recognize the fact that what was happening in their own midst was prophecies from the old times. They didn't understand it. Jesus did not only meet 90% of the prophets, of the prophecies, He fulfilled 100% of the things that the prophets foretold. 100%. But they didn't realize it. It was in their midst. It was happening right before their eyes, and they didn't understand it. You see, Jesus gave a reprimand to people who don't follow His word, found in Luke chapter 12, verse 56, if you'll go there. Luke 12, 56, where He said, "You hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it that you do not discern the time?" Prophecy was being fulfilled around the people, and yet many people were oblivious to it. And this is exactly the same thing that Jesus is talking about today. We can discern the stars. We can find the Big Dipper. We can find the planets. We can see different things that are going on. We can see asteroids almost hitting the earth. We can depict different things from far away. We can do geographical maps. We can find GPS. We can do this. We can do that. But we don't discern the times that are coming around us. And there are things that are happening around us, folks, that are prophesied today. And a lot of times we're oblivious to it. Shame on us. We need to follow the prophecies of the end times of today. You see, God's word continues to proclaim to us the signs of which we need to be aware. It's our responsibility as Christians to learn and to watch, keeping informed of prophecies being fulfilled. We talk about the various things that are happening in end times. In our youth class, we're talking about the image of Daniel chapter 2. You all know that story. And you know what the feet and toes are made up of? Gabe, feet and toes, what are they made up of? Thank you, Gabe. That's all right. Clay and? Which depicts strong and weak countries, strong and weak cultures, and they're not clinging together. Can you see that that's happening before our very eyes? And they're not clinging together. They're fighting with each other. And they're not going, everything's not going well. And at the signs of those end times, this is a great stone cut without hands is going to hit that at the time. And meaning that Jesus Christ is coming and we need to be aware of it. Here, it talks about the future. It would appear that God desires His people to be aware of His plans. But no matter what's going on, it's our responsibility to watch. Keeping informed of the prophecies fulfills our historical times, keeping us from being deceived. troubled, confused, beguiled. We can know that whatever the world throws at us, we know that God is ultimately in control. Everything that's going on in our culture has happened in history before. We think, oh, we are confused about culture. We are confused about gender. We are confused about the various things that are happening in wars. We're confused because the government is saying this, the government is saying that. We're confused because the family structure is blown apart. Folks, that's been going on. Gender confusion was in Sodom, was it not? It was. And so it's history that's being replayed. And so, folks, the number one thing that you need to follow is not a lot of books of professors and whatnot. Use the great book. Use the book and follow what it says because it's telling us how to keep ourselves safe. You talk about sanctuary cities? Folks, this is a sanctuary. This is a safe place. We need to go to where the Spirit of the Lord is. And we need to be able to watch the signs of the end times. See, Jesus talked about, when he was here on this earth, he talked about a coming kingdom. He talked about, he was repeating what the prophets were saying about a coming kingdom. Here, when he started talking about a coming kingdom, it was during the time when he set his church and the church became a reality. Following the 7 weeks, or on the 50th day, following the rise of Messiah from the grave, came what we call the day of Pentecost. Messiah would send the Holy Spirit to inaugurate the new covenant church age. In Mark chapter 1, go with me there. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, it states, "Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." And so if I ask you again, what's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel of the kingdom. That was his passion. He wants us to be in the kingdom of God. That was his gospel. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he said this, "The time is fulfilled," meaning the times of the end times, the times of the prophets were ended. He was building his church. In class, the foundation of the church is built on what?
Disciples, apostles, and Jesus Christ.
With Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Isn't that the foundation of the church? It is. And so when we have the foundation of the church being upon the prophets and the apostles with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, then Jesus, the cornerstone, says the time is fulfilled. The prophecies of the prophets to his time were fulfilled. It's done. And the kingdom of God is at hand. When I hear that, that means the kingdom of God is close. That's what he was telling these people. The kingdom of God is close. Repent ye, says, and believe the gospel. That was his passion, to repent, because the kingdom was so close. And then he quotes the quotation of Peter, when he goes to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, he says this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Welcome to the spiritual kingdom of God. You're in it. How do I get in? Well, you've got to die. You've got to be born again. That's the criteria to get into the spiritual kingdom of God. And so he goes on to say in Jeremiah 31 and 33, see, I'm quoting the prophets because Jesus was saying the times of the prophets have been fulfilled. And here's what he's saying in Jeremiah 31, 33. He says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant." And he's talking future. He's talking now. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel," he says. "After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be to their God, and they shall be my people." Welcome to the spiritual kingdom of God. The law is in your hearts. You know right from wrong, do you not? It's written there. And so he prepared the prophets to the time when Jesus started saying, "The time is fulfilled. Are you ready to enter into my kingdom?" Now, he says, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, I want you to understand that this is when God's spiritual kingdom commences. It began. What an awesome time this was. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." That's amazing to me. You know why? Because the Spirit hadn't come again. But they were together. They were united. And I believe the church needs to be united in this last days. We need to be together. "They were in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven out of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. It sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Peter, now he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He preached to the crowds gathered from all over the world. It was no coincidence that the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. That's when the Spirit fell. People were coming from all over the world. They were there for Pentecost, and God knew it. He goes, "This is the time to pour out my Spirit upon everyone." The Spirit-filled words burned into the hearts of these hearing Peter. Peter urged the people to repent. You know, it was not one of those, you know, people talked about the fire and brimstone sermons of the 30s and 40s and 50s in our country. Sometimes we need to hear a good fire and brimstone per sermon every now and then to get to the people's hearts. So it's time to wake up, folks. Jesus is coming. And so here, when he was talking about they were burning into their hearts, he said, Peter urged the people. Look it up in the Acts. It said he urged them to repent. Throngs of people showed up to be baptized, trusting in the Lord. This new covenant was preached first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. In order to get into the kingdom of heaven, they had to die. They had to be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus was talking about. To get into my kingdom, you have to be born again, he says. This was God's spiritual kingdom that we still live in today. It's a time of grace. Rather than being taken out and stoned, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I don't live in those days. I probably would have been stoned last Thursday or Friday or something because I probably did something. But I'm here today because of grace. Praise God. Do I have a witness to that? Here, he says, we are here because of grace. We don't have to be stoned anymore. We can receive forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus that was paid for our sins. You're forgiven today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Here, we are justified. In Romans chapter 4, 24 to 25, I told you I was going to give you a lot of verses, so I hope you're keeping up with me now. So, in Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, it states, "But for us also, to whom it was imputed, we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised up again for our justification." We are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Thank you, Lord. We are sanctified, made holy through God's Holy Spirit. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God." Bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from very beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Jesus knew your name when He was on the cross. This was for you. He knew your name. Some people might say, "Well, prove that, Brother Larry." And he said, "Well, yeah, well, He told Jeremiah, 'I knew your name when you were still in the womb. I knew who you were.'" I believe when a baby is formed. And they can say now, did you know scientists have been able to detect at the time when a baby starts, they have filmed this, and it's like a little spark. When conception happens, a little spark, and that's when a baby starts to be formed. It's amazing what they can find out today. I don't believe in abortion. Is that okay to say that? I don't believe in that. I believe that that was a gift from God. And I believe that if He knew that baby's name and we take that life away, that's wrong. We're sanctified, made holy through the Spirit. Now, we're in the spiritual kingdom of God, and the spiritual kingdom of God of the church age started on the day of Pentecost. It's been going on for about 2,000 years. You're all citizens of the kingdom of God. Jesus is your Lord. If I was to ask who Jesus is to you, and I've done this many, many times, I was apt to ask who Jesus is to you, you would all give me different names, all different titles. But then I would keep going until somebody would tell me, "He's my King." And I would say, "Bingo, that's exactly the one I'm looking forward to today, because Jesus is my King. He's the ruler of my life. He is the head of this spiritual kingdom, and I'm glad to be called a citizen of the spiritual kingdom of God. I've been saved." To be in the spiritual kingdom of God, your name has to be in the book of life. It's there. You're a citizen. And so now we're in the spiritual kingdom. See, but it doesn't end there, folks. In Matthew chapter 24, go with me there. Matthew 24, 29 to 31, he starts to talk about a millennial kingdom that's coming. Jesus said this, "For as the lightning comes out of the east," and we all know where the east is, don't we? And, you know, we're able to depict those signs and times, but of the stars, "For the lightning comes out of the east and shines even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Look to the eastern sky. That's where Jesus is coming from. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened," he says, "and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven," he says, "and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." surely mentioned the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. With the great sound of a trumpet. I love that trumpet. It's not going to be no secret rapture, folks. It's going to be a trumpet. And you're going to hear that trumpet. It talks about the trumpet in Thessalonians. It talks about the trumpet in Corinthians when the dead in Christ shall rise. It talks about the trumpet in Matthew 24 when he says, at the sound of the trumpet, he will gather his people together. And I'm looking forward to hearing the sound of the trumpet. And he's going to gather his people from one end of heaven to the other. But then people say, well, and then so we get to fly through the cosmos and all that good stuff, and we'll be up there with the togas and eating grapes and get to do all kinds of neat things. I'm sorry, folks, you're going to be sadly mistaken. People tell me, you should go to Israel someday, Larry. I said, why? Well, it's a beautiful place. I'm sure it is. I don't want to go over there and have some pipe bomb blow me up. I'm not ready for that. You see, I'm going to Israel, but I want to go with Jesus. Because that's where he's gathering together his people from the four winds, and we're going on a little trip. Praise God, I don't have to fly United. Or American. Or America's worst. Or whatever you want to call them. I don't have to do it. I get to fly with Jesus. First class. And we're going to go. We're going to go to the land of Israel. We've got to follow the word. See, don't just take my word for it. Because in Zechariah chapter 14, go with me there. In Zechariah 14, now he goes back to the prophets. Folks, we need the prophets. We need the apostles. But we need Jesus Christ. Zechariah 14 verse 4 says this, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and all the mountains shall remove towards the north and half of it towards the south. Further on in verse 5, it says, and all the saints shall come with him. That's us, folks. We're going to land on the Mount of Olives with Jesus Christ. We're going to be there. And in Zechariah 14:9, he says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Scripture says every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All these other religions, I'm sorry, I'm not going to knock them right now. Maybe later. But we're not going to have all these other denominations and all these people who start all these other churches. We're going to serve one Lord, in his name one, and it's going to be Jesus Christ. And we're going to start a millennial reign with Jesus Christ. Notice this in Revelation chapter 20. Go with me there. Revelation chapter 20. He says, and I saw an angel. This is John. You know, I always, my heart kind of goes out to John because I don't know how much the mind can comprehend everything. But I think John's mind got blown away on that island of Patmos. He saw all kinds of things. It says he even got sick afterwards. There was a lot of stuff that he saw. But he says this, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, he says, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Well, we know who these guys are. It's the dragon. Yeah, well, we know who the dragon is. That old serpent, do you remember where he first appeared? In the Garden of Eden. Started this whole mess. And he says, who is the devil? We know who that is. And his name was Satan. And he tied him up 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up, and he set a seal over him. They should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ. How long? 1,000 years. Folks, he talks about people who are beheaded for Jesus Christ. In the persecuted churches, they're being beheaded today as we live. They're being beheaded. We live in a wonderful country. I haven't lost my head for Jesus yet. But it's happening today. The signs of the times are happening before our very eyes. And he talks about those that were beheaded and their names. They didn't have the mark of the beast on their foreheads. And they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Folks, if he's talking about 1,000 years, then he's talking about marked time. I guess there's going to be days, months, years during this 1,000-year period. See, when Jesus comes, it's going to be the end of our age. If he came the end of 2017 and he landed on the Mount of Olives, you know what the next day is going to be? Day one, year one of the 1,000 years. It's a new age. And he's going to start marking those times. 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You better pray that you're part of the first resurrection. I want to be a part of the first resurrection. I want to rise and follow the dead in Christ. And I want to fly to Israel. And I want to set up the kingdom. And I don't care if he makes me a priest or a king or a goat herder. I don't care what he makes me so long as I am in the kingdom of God. I want to be there. Going to be there. In that first resurrection. Because in that first resurrection, 100% of the people are going to be saved. You want to join me there? In the first resurrection? Do I have a witness to that? Here, he said, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're in the spiritual kingdom of Christ. We're going to go to the millennial kingdom of Christ, where we're going to see Jesus' face. He'll be ruling. And we'll be kings and priests with him. We'll get to sit at the marriage feast of the Lamb. We'll be able to sit at supper with him. We'll be taking Lord's Supper with him again. Did you know that? And then we come to the end of this 1,000-year period. See, now, this is where things go really fast. In Revelation 20, verses 12 to 15. And I saw the dead. This is at the end of the 1,000 years. Now, we're all in the first resurrection. Amen? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And it says, and the books were opened. That should give you a little hint here. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So the question I have to ask, what books? What's he talking about here? I asked the class this morning, you ever taken an open book test in school? And I think Kylene says those are the hardest because, you know, sometimes you have to know where everything's at. But if you study the chapter and the teacher gives you an open book test, if you've already studied the book, you know where to find the answers. So it behooves us in the spiritual kingdom of God to study the books. What books are they talking about? I don't think God is unfair to throw a curveball at you and says, here's another book. Well, I never read it, Lord. Too bad, you're going to hell. He's given us the books of the Bible. That's what he's talking about. We've got the Word of God in our laps, in our iPads. We've got them in our houses. Some of you have 4, 5, 6 Bibles in your house. Start to read them, folks. Be prepared for the signs of the end times. The books were open. And another book was open, he says, which is the book of life. You see, the final exam of the books is the book of life. These people, after the 1,000 years, are those other people who rose from the grave. You and I will not be there at the great white throne judgment. Did you know that? We're ruling with Christ. We're kings and priests. We don't have to stand before God. Why? Because you already stood before Jesus Christ. You already stood and accepted Him as your Savior. You've been judged by the blood of the Lamb, and you have been found blameless and perfect because of the blood of the Lamb. You don't have to stand before the great white throne judgment. You won't be there. I'm not going to be there. I'm helping Jesus reign. It's these other people are going to stand before God. And the books were open, and they were judged out according to their works. And it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, he says. This is the second death. What a real bummer. I mean, to be resurrected, go to the white throne judgment, and go back to the lake of fire. Oh, man. Wow. I don't know if you've ever been in court. I have a couple of times as a witness, but not as a defendant. And when that judge says, be quiet, I'm quiet. As you notice, they have most prisoners and people that are accused that go before the judge. You know how those people are dressed? Man, they're all dressed in shirts and ties. They look really nice before the judge because they want to impress the judge because the judge has all power. I believe all these people are going to dress up really nice for God. And He's not going to care because God looks at the heart and He's going to judge those people. And then they're thrown into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a hymnal, a song. I don't know if it's in our hymn books anymore. I go way back, folks. I go before those red hymn books existed. We had little green ones. And then before that, we had paperbacks. I'm not going to tell you how far back I go, but... But there's a song that says, is my name written there on the page white and fair? Tell me, Lord Jesus, is my name written there? I want my name there. You want your name there. If your name's not found there, it tells you where you're going to go. God doesn't play these little games. He's black and white. He's going to tell you what's going to happen. And so the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ ends with these people being thrown into the lake of fire. I told you he tabulates the times of the 1,000 years. I told you that he's going to mark those times. And so it reminds me of the book of Isaiah where it talks about the millennial reign, the millennial kingdom, where he says from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to worship me. Has that happened yet? No. That's future. So he's going to mark his 1,000 years by Sabbath. I'm glad we got a little jump on that, folks. You know, we're doing that now. Praise God. He's going to mark those years. And so the end of the millennial reign happens. And like I said, I'm going fast here. Bear with me. And then we get into the last phase of his kingdom, which is the eternal kingdom of God. In Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5, it says this: "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John," he marks it. He says, it was me, John. "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them.'" And notice this: "And they shall be his people, and God himself," you notice that? "Himself shall be with them and be their God." It's a fulfillment of Matthew chapter 5, where he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We will be pure in heart when we see God. We have to be. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Praise the Lord. "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things have passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new," he says. "And he said unto me, 'Write, for these things are true and faithful.'" Revelation 22, verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly." Not quick enough for me. I want him to come now. "And my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega," he says. "I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last." These are powerful words. He's better than any professor. He's better than any government. He's better than anything that we're seeing. You're seeing signs of the end times. You see our presidents at the Wailing Wall. That's never happened. What does that mean? You see various things that are going on in the nations today. I'm not worried about that little guy over there with the missiles in North Korea. God is greater than he is. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments," not ordinances, not little suggestions, but his commandments, "that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city," the eternal kingdom of God. And the best part of this message, which you can all say amen to, when I say in conclusion, do I have a witness? Matthew 24, verse 36 to 39 says this: "But of that day and hour knows no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." We don't know. All I know is that if I were to die tonight, I'd have eternity with Jesus Christ. The next thing I would know is when I opened my eyes, I would see Jesus. What a blessed thought. "But as the days of Noe were," so you have to go back and study the prophets and find out what they were doing in the days of Noah. Those are terrible times. You think we have a handle on all the evil that's going on? Those people were bad. "But as the days of Noe were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking." What's wrong with that? It depends on what you're eating and drinking, I guess. It depends on how much partying you're doing, because, you know, I love to eat. Mexican food, yes, sir. They were marrying and giving in marriage. I think they were marrying whoever they wanted to marry and whatever they wanted to marry. You think we have a handle on all the stuff that's going on today? We don't have a handle. We're just repeating what was in the days of Noah. And they did all of that until the day that Noah entered the ark and the door was shut. And they did not know that until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You don't know when He's coming. So your heart has to be right now. Your life has to be together now. When you go to bed at night, you should say, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." That's what you should be saying. As believers, we're expecting of Christ's return, even as we occupy the post that each of us has been given to fulfill. Here's my post. I want to live for Jesus Christ. I want to tell people of the gospel of the kingdom. Your post, to live a good Christian life as a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ and tell those around you about Jesus Christ. That's your post. Even though we live in a worldly age and we live in a time of evil, we need to be the lower lights for Jesus Christ. That is your post. We look forward to a world with justice and peace, ruled by our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. God bless you. Happy Sabbath.